Dr. Law said, no, it's heart trouble. It's heart trouble. Well, I said, now, Doc, listen. Let's be reasonable about this thing. I've been living with me for 48 years, and I ought to know a little something about me. And I'm telling you my symptoms. Now, I'm having trouble with my tongue. Sometimes I don't intend to say what I say, and just the worst oath you've ever heard of comes out. I've told smutty jokes, and I believe that my tongue has got a rotten spot in it somewhere. And I wish you'd come and look at my tongue. He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, it's heart trouble. Are you listening? Well, I said, Doctor, you're the most stubborn doctor I've ever been to. I'm telling you what's been bothering me all the time. All the time. And Doc, I know this. Now, you can say what you will. I know I've got ear trouble. Because, said, I've just sat and listened to those nasty, filthy, smutty jokes out on the job day after day, and I've laughed at them. Now, you know you've got to do something to my ears to make me stop listening to that kind of junk. He said, nope, it's heart trouble. Just heart trouble. That's what's wrong with you. It's heart trouble. Well, I said, now, Doc, listen, let's be reasonable about it. I want to tell you something else. And I've been making a study myself. I know. That sounds like an old sinner, doesn't it? He comes and tells the preacher everything's wrong with him. He don't know. He just is blind as a bat backing up. I mean, he doesn't know beans about what's wrong with him, see? But he thinks he does. And some over here right now, you think, boy, I tell you, I'm not doing so bad. I'm not doing... And so he comes, I say to Dr. Law, now, Dr. Law, you see those feet there? Now, I'm telling you the truth. Those feet have been carrying me places I ought not to go. Now, don't you stand there and tell me that I'm not having feet trouble, because I'll guarantee you, those feet have just been dancing all over the dance hall floors. I'll guarantee you. And these old disobedient arms of mine have been holding other people's wives and daughters in these arms. And, Doc, come on and be honest with me and do something about these rotten feet and stinking arms of mine. Oh, Dr. Law didn't bat an eye. He said, it's your heart. He said, it's your heart. I've got to work on you. We got to get at the heart of this thing. Amen? Oh, brother. Listen, wouldn't it be wonderful if we'd quit hiding and running and come clean with God? Oh, I'm going to bring you to the judgment tonight, sinner friend. You're going to stand one of these days to give an account to God for the very message that you're hearing tonight. Oh, listen, dear friends. You'd say, Doc, I tell you there's something wrong with my taste. What I've been drinking is not good for me, but I've cultivated the taste for it. And what I didn't used to like to drink, I don't like it now. And you need probably to give me a new taster. Oh, Dr. Law said, no, it's your heart. Just go on in the direction you want to go in. That sounds like the sinner, but Dr. Law, he's going to stand by his guns, brother. He's going to stand by his guns. Finally, I get a little discouraged, and I say... to Dr. Law, well, it just seems to me like you're so unreasonable. Now then, I want you to write my diagnosis and tell me what's going to happen to me. Just if you know so much about it and I can't help you in any way, then tell me right now. He said, all right. So, brother, I mean, he still doesn't bat an eye. He takes out his pencil, fountain pen, and writes D-E-A-T-H, death, signed Dr. Law. Said, take that into the nurse. Take it home to your wife. Anyway, that's what it's death for you, bud. I said, Dr. Law, I've never met a doctor so obstinate. I mean, you think you know it all, don't you? Well, he said, that's my diagnosis. You asked me to find out what's wrong with you. You've got to die. Well, I said, I want you to get this. There are other doctors in this town besides you. Mm-hmm. Dr. Law said, all right, you can go see them. And so I beat it down the street. Listen, that guy's not going to tell me what he told me. All he had to talk about was my heart. Nothing wrong with my heart. So I go down to see Dr. Religion. I'm telling you. Oh, he's a scout. He's a regular fella. Oh, he said, come on in here, Lester Olaf. Well, I'm glad to see you. I said, yeah, I'm glad to see you. I said, I've been up to see that one of these doctors. Said, oh, Dr. Law, you... Oh, I said, listen, that guy's nutty. Man, he hadn't had any training. He didn't know beans about the later modes of medicine. Why, he's antiquated. That's they ought to call him Dr. Antique. I said, boy, it sounds good to me. I didn't like him myself. I really didn't. And I said, Dr. Religion, would you just kind of run over me? Oh, he said, sure. Said, lay down over here, boy. And he runs over me. Little. He said, nothing serious. He said, I recommend that you join the church and get baptized. I think that'll straighten you out. Why, I said, I'll do it. I'll do it. And so I beat it down to the church, you know, and I shake the preacher's hand and never did turn loose of the devils. And he said, what is your desire? I said, I want to join the church. I feel every man ought to be religious. I haven't been feeling too well about the way I've been living. He said, why, we can take care of that. I said, when's the next baptizing? He said, tonight. Fact is, we'll baptize you right now if you want to. You may not come back. Amen? Our report goes in next week, so we better baptize you now. Well, glory. All right, and so I go in the baptistry, and I went home, and sure enough, boy, I tell you, after I got my dry clothes, I felt a little better. I really did. I went home, and my wife, you know, she said, Donnie, I've always wanted you to join the church. I said, well, I done joined. I said, I, it really makes you feel better, doesn't it? I went through the week, and I'm telling you, I felt better all week. Man, I tell you, I was just riding high. I told my neighbors and friends, I said, well, I joined the church. And my little children came and said, Daddy, I'm so glad you joined. And boy, I tell you, that was wonderful. But boy, after a while, I had them same old symptoms. I'm not joking with you. I beat it back down to Dr. Religion. I said, now, Dr. Religion, that is awful good for a while. But it looks to me like it's about played out. I believe I need a little deeper cure. Well, he said, I tell you, no need getting upset about it. I mean, you seem to be a little emotionally upset. I mean, certainly you're not going to want to be worried, you know. God's a merciful God, and he's kind, and you know Jesus would never permit you to go to hell. You know, God never sends anybody to hell. You know that, don't you? Well, I said, I hope not. I really do. And he said, now, I tell you what, I believe... Maybe you haven't gone to work yet. And so I believe I'd take about a dose at least once a week of good hard work in the church. I'd go down there and I'd just get me a job in the church. Well, listen, I tried all of that and I wound up in the same shape. And one day, I just decided I'd go back to that old mean doctor. So I went back up there. I felt a little sheepish about it, but I went in. I said, Dr. Law, I tried them other doctors. Old Dr. Do Good and Be Good and Improve a Little and Join the Church and Dr. Religion. And I tell you, it just looks to me like that's a whole bunch of quacks. Now, I've got to have something happen to me, Doc. And I believe what you told me is just about 100% so. And it looks to me like I'm a dead duck unless somebody gets hold of me. And Dr. Law said, now you're talking business. Now you're talking business. I said, Dr. Law, what actually do you recommend? He said, I told you before, you've got to have an operation. You've got to have an operation. Well, I said, if that's the only way I can live, then when do you want to operate? He said, I don't. I said, you mean I've got to have an operation and you're not going to operate? That means then I've got to go ahead and die. No, I didn't say that. Well, I said, Doc, explain to me. I'm all confused. I know there's something wrong. He said, I told you what was wrong with your heart. But he said, I want you to go across the hall with me here. There's a doctor across here. He and I worked together for thousands of years. Said, I'd like for you to meet him. I said, all right. So he leads me across, rings the doorbell, and great, big, wonderful, handsome doctor comes to the door, meticulously white and clean. And that's the brightest room I've ever seen in all my life. No roaches, no flies, no dirt, no filth. It's clean in there. Dr. Law, says Dr. Grace, I want you to meet Lester Roloff. He's in a bad shape. I think he finally realizes it. Dr. Grace looked at Dr. Law and said, has he already tried all the other doctors? He said, yes, sir, but to no avail. Did you ask him, Dr. Law, if he'd turn his case completely over to me? He said, yes, sir. He said, Lester Roloff, come on inside. I held the door open, and I said, Dr. Law, since you know me and know what's wrong, you come on in and be here too. No. He said, I never come in Dr. Grace's office. Never. I just take you to his office, and I turn you over to him. He's the surgeon. I've never operated yet. I diagnosed your case, son. Now commit yourself to Dr. Grace. The operation will be successful. I said, Dr. Grace, serious now. Perspiration's already come upon my nose and chin. And I said, Dr. Grace, could you call my wife and let her be here since it's going to be such a serious operation? No. He said, nobody will be here but just me and you. I'm a private surgeon. Well, I said, Doc, whereabouts are the nurses? He said, I don't have any. I do it all myself. Praise God. I'm looking at a real doctor now. Ah, Dr. Grace. Of course, I was scared. I surely was. I said, Doc, and I was trying to stave it off a little longer. I said, Doc, how much is it going to cost? This is going to be a tremendous operation. How much is it going to cost? And Dr. Grace said, son, it's already been paid for. Why, I said, paid for? You mean somebody's already paid for my operation before I ever saw you? Hey, he said, yes. He said, I'll introduce you to him after the operation. Yeah. I want you to know him. Well, I said, I'd be glad to meet him. I surely would. I said, now, Dr. Grace, are you sure that it's going to be a success? He said, yes. So I stretch out on the operating table, and this lovely doctor comes. And I'd say, Doc, one more question. Are you going to give me a good, deep anesthetic that'll last until you get through operating? No, he said, son, I never give anesthetics. You smell no ether in here, do you? I said, you mean I'm going to have to stay awake while you're taking my heart out? He said, yes. I have to do it like that, son, so it'll be real to you. And you can tell others what Dr. Grace did to you. Ah, brother, I was there when it happened. I can tell people that Jesus saved me. He made me new. I said, all right, Doc, I'm in your hands now. Old Dr. Religion, he failed me. Dr. Do Good and Be Good, all those old boys failed me. I'm still not in too good a humor with Dr. Law. He's so rough. Dr. Grace said, son, just as soon as I'm through with the operation, you'll love Dr. Law a lot more than you love him now. Ah, oh, that's sweet and good. That's so. He's a lot better man than you think he is, and he's a wonderful diagnostician. He knows exactly. He's never brought a patient to me and told me wrong about one of them. He knows what's wrong with everyone. So Dr. Grace starts in on the operation. I said, "Doc, just a minute. I'm just a little nervous, and I don't know whether I'm ready for this. I might ought to be built up a little bit." "No," he said, "you're just right for it now." I said, "Doc, could you give me a quart of glucose or something? Because I feel awful weak now." He said, "That's the way you're supposed to feel when I operate on you." I said, "Doc, could you operate tomorrow?" Boy, when I said that, Dr. Grace said, "I never operate tomorrow. Always operate today." Well, I said, "Doc, could you just be reasonable with me? And could you promise me that you'd operate tomorrow?" And Dr. Grace said, "Son, you may not be here tomorrow. That's how serious your case is." Well, I said, "Doc, if that's the only way out, just start cutting." So, brother, he started in the heart section. He passed up all my toes, my feet. He didn't even glance at my eyes. Didn't tell me to stick out my tongue. Didn't even look at my fingernails or my hands. Brother, I'll guarantee he headed for the heart. And when he took one slice, he fell open. And when it did, there was an odor that I've never smelt before that came out of that heart section. I said, "Doc, what's that?" He said, "Son, you're awful rotten in your heart. Fact is, it's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things." I said, "You mean my heart?" He said, "Wait till I bring it out. I'll show it to you." Boy, in a minute, with his tender hands, he reached down in and pulled out that old black heart of mine and held it up. And I said, "Doc, if you don't mind, throw that thing away." Oh, my soul. There I was arguing with Dr. Law, and he was right, wasn't he? I said, "Yes, son," he was right. But I said, "Dr. Grace, I can't live without a heart, can I? And I don't want that one back. I'd rather die than have that heart. I never want to see it again. And, Doc, if that's the best, I don't want you to just patch it up or overhaul it. Do you have any?" He said, "Son, I've got a brand new loving heart to drop down inside." Ah, listen, I see him as he goes to the sea of God's forgetfulness and throws my old black heart in heaven's garbage can. And away she goes and comes back with a brand new heart. Ah, listen, he puts that heart inside, gently closes up the incision. And I said, "Doc, I wonder if it's time for me to look." He said, "In just a minute." I said, "I'm not going to be ashamed of the scar if I get well." Well, he said, "Son, take a look." And I said, "Doc, there's not any scar, is there?" Oh, perfect operation. And my heart's been different ever since. Oh, listen. I said, "Doctor, I want to ask you something. You reckon I'll ever have to have another operation like this?" He said, "No, sir, this is permanent. I've never had a patient come back on me yet. This heart will never fail you, son. It's brand new. I'm giving you an eternal and everlasting operation." Well, I said, "Dr. Grace, do you recommend that I come back for some other treatments? And would you like to check up on me every 30 days? He said, "No, sir. The cure is permanent. You're well. Case dismissed." Ah, brother Dr. Grace, I want you to know him. I want you to know him. Well, I said, "Dr. Grace, surely you've got some advice for me. I need some good suggestions about how to take care of this new heart." And he said to me, "Yes, son. I want you to take plenty of good, strong Bible food, and that'll keep her strong. and she'll pump that new blood out through your body. And then he said, there's one other suggestion. I want you to get a lot of good exercise. I said, what kind would you suggest? And he said, I'd like for you to kneel a good deal. He said, that'll do you good. Just get down and get up. He said, every once in a while by yourself, fall down on your face and start praying. Don't ever forget what I've done for you, son. I said, Dr. Grace, I'll do it now. Do you have any suggestion about my tongue? You know, I've always had trouble with it. He said, just go tell what Dr. Grace did for you. And tell it everywhere. Said, don't just tell it in Sunday school, son. Tell it on the street. Tell it in the jail. Tell it everywhere. Let that old tongue tell now what's happened to the heart. I said, but Doc, I'm a little worried about my feet. He said, don't worry about your feet, because your heart's going to tell your feet what to do from now on. That new heart's going to operate everything about you. Oh, brother, I met the greatest doctor I've ever met in my life. I started out the door. I said, Dr. Grace, he said, I thought you'd want to come back. They always do. I said, I want to meet the friend that paid my bill. And he said, I want you to meet him. And he walked into the office, and there stood the sweetest friend I've ever had. He raised his hands, and I said, Dr. Grace, somebody's operated on him, haven't they? But his scar didn't heal like mine. He said, son, that's Jesus. He paid your bill on Calvary. I said, Dr. Grace, if you don't mind, I'm going to start my exercises. And down on my face. And Jesus said, son, get up now. It's all right. I'm glad you came to Dr. Grace. I died for you, but I rose again. Your hospital bill, your operation, your examinations all paid in full. Go, son, and sin no more. And when you get home, tell your wife and your children about Dr. Grace and that he's waiting for them if they've got heart trouble. Folks, sinners, how could you turn the Savior down? Oh, I found myself singing this afternoon. When sin-stricken burden and weary from bondage I long to be free, there came to my heart the sweet message, his grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient for thee. In shady green pastures or on the rough sea, his grace is sufficient for thee. When life here on earth is all over, when Jesus, my Savior, I see, my heart will repeat this sweet message. His grace was sufficient for me. Oh, his grace was sufficient for me. Well, his grace was sufficient for me. In the shady green pastures or on the old rough sea, his grace was sufficient for me. And lost friend, there's only one hope. There's only one hope. And that's to go to Dr. Grace. But before you get to him, you've got to go see Dr. Law. I can hardly wait. I bid Jesus so long. He said, no, so long, I'm going home with you. Amen? Amen. And so I said, you mean you're going to go? He said, I'm going to live with you from now on. I've got to help you. I'm going to see to it that there'll be no recurrence of this old trouble again. Fact is, he said, I'm going to live in that new heart of yours. And I said, well, amen. I started down the road and I said, I've got to go tell Miss Roloff because she'll be glad I know. And she'll have a brand new husband. And Jesus said to me, sure enough, he was in my heart. He said, did you forget anything? Well, I said, yes. I believe I'll run back. And so I knocked on the door. And the little secretary said, yes. I said, is Dr. Law still in? Oh, yes. And I said, I've got to see him. And you know, Dr. Law stepped to the door, and he wasn't mad at me anymore. He had the nicest smile I've ever seen on his face. I said, Dr. Law, I just want to shake hands with you and say thank you for what you've done for me. And sinner friend, when you get saved, you're going to thank God for his word that convicted you of your sin and sent you with a rotten heart to see Dr. Grace that he might operate on you and save you from your sin. I recommend these two great doctors to every sinner. Lost friend, come to Jesus tonight. Trust him as your personal Savior. Will you bow your heads while we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for this sweet hour of preaching time. Dear Lord, we pray that thou shouldst speak now and grant that not one soul will go away without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, bless the one that's closest to the hot doors of damnation tonight and snatch them in love and pity and mercy. Lord, we pray that you'll put them in Dr. Law's office if they've not already been. And dear Lord, if they've been sitting in Dr. Law's office during this hour, I pray that they might step inside Dr. Grace now and let grace step inside them. Dear Lord, save the lost that are here and bless all those who've heard the message. We pray in Jesus' name.